Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Look alive! It's showtime!
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. And we are happy to see you guys. A lot of people coming out here this morning. We got to see Sixto a little earlier. We got to have some of the Jim Paschke tickets were claimed, so we thank him for donating those. We're going to have some Admirals tickets to give away in a little bit as well. So it's a fun day, man. This is a fun week, and we look forward to seeing more of you guys. Dan and Diane Showalter were out here. There's a lot of you guys asking, I can't make it out there. How can I get you a toy? We will be in Waukesha at the Blaine's Farm and Fleet there, Chuck and myself, tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. And then there's also a link right on the website, 1057fmthefan.com, if you're listening and just unable to get down here or don't listen in the area but like to stay connected to what's going on with your hometown teams. You know you're already listening right now on that radio.com app. Just go to 1057fmthefan.com. And, again, we thank you for all the help that we can get. I mean, if it's one toy, if it's 15 cents that you got in your car, it all adds up. And what's cool about what we're doing here with Robin's Nest and Children's Wisconsin is that this is their toy drive. Like, this is all they need for toys throughout the year, not just the holidays, but for birthdays that they give out, for special events that they do throughout the year, because kids are obviously there year-round and use those services, and then they need toys, and they say, well, let's just go right back to where the guys from The Fan brought those toys and their listeners, because we give so much. You guys have been so great at this now, the 13th year, that we're able to give enough toys for Children's Hospital, as big as it is all year, because of how much you guys donate, and we can't thank you enough.
Yeah, Children's of Wisconsin, amazing place, amazing facility, and you know, if you want to go inside here at Blaine's in Oak Creek and buy a few toys, you're welcome to do that. You know, you mentioned the dip jars and all that, to cash donations. But you're right. You know, everything we collect here lasts throughout the year. And, you know, especially though at Christmas time, no kid wants to be in a hospital over Christmas. And to present him with a toy or two, it's terrific.
Rob Reichel joining us now, Conley Media, Forbes.com, as he does throughout this toy drive. And we thank him for coming back for another year. It's an interesting year, Rob, with the Packers, because – they are 9-3. Matt LaFleur, presumably this week, will be the winningest first-year coach that the Packers have ever had should they beat Washington and get their 10th win. And so, but it's the Packers, so we're not like, and they've got Rodgers towards the end of this window, so we're not like, yeah, first-year coach, 9 wins. I mean, we're like, but they're still like the fifth-best team in the conference. It's a good year so far, but it's also, it's a weird year because I don't think we're looking at what Matt LaFleur has been doing in a vacuum. We're looking at it in the spectrum of, well, he's just another one of these coaches for the 100 years of the Green Bay Packers.
Okay, before I get into this, kudos to both of you guys for continuing to do this year in and year out. I've probably been with you, what, Chuck, maybe 10 years down here, something like that.
We were young back then,
to turn back time. But it's a phenomenal thing. My kids have been in and out of Children's at various times. I know almost everybody I know has been. It's a sensational place, and what you guys and your station do down here is absolutely sensational. So major kudos to you guys and The Fan. Bart, to your question, you almost wish, whatever, I'm certainly never going to tell a fan or anybody what to think or what to wish for. But after,
that's my shtick.
That is yours. But after back-to-back losing seasons, you know, you would think you'd appreciate 9-3, and, I mean, let's be honest, unless something goofy happens, they're going to win the NFC North. They can lose that Minnesota game now, guys. They win their other three on the schedule, which they're going to be at least 7-point favorites in all of those games, and you win the NFC North because they own the tiebreakers over Minnesota.
Got a young kid here with some toys. Hey, great hat, man.
And those tiebreakers are better division record.
Pikachu.
The tiebreaker will be the better division record. What's going to end up costing Minnesota is they lost that game 16-6 to the Bears early in the year in Chicago. So they're actually – Minnesota's actually 1-2 right now in the division. Green Bay's 3-0. So they've got a two-game gap there. Minnesota can obviously make up one game on December 23rd. But, again, unless Green Bay loses the Bears or the Lions game, they're in really good shape here to win the division. And, Bart, it feels a little bit – and, again, to show how old I am, it feels a little bit like 2001. You guys remember 99, they go 8-8 with Ray Rhodes. Sherman comes in 2000. These are trending toward the end of the Favre years a little bit. Sherman comes in, they start 5-7, they get hot at the end, they finish 9-7, but missed the playoffs both of those years, 99 and 2000. Come back in 2001, go 12-4. If I remember right, that's the year Vic bounced them then in the playoffs, was 2001.
On a snowy Saturday night. Up in Green Bay.
It could have been the following year, but I'm getting my years mixed up a little bit, Chuck. But it feels a little bit like that. And it's such a spoiled fan base around here in general, Bart. You know, to get to the playoffs is hard. When you have a legendary, when you have a, you know, a franchise-type quarterback like Rodgers, you should get there year in and year out. But it's not a given, and there's a lot of NFL cities, they know that extremely well, so it's certainly nothing to sneeze at. I'm with you, Bart. They're probably the fifth best team in the conference right now. I would take San Francisco, Seattle, New Orleans, and Minnesota over Green Bay on a neutral field. But that doesn't mean they can't get the number two seed, get a bye, and then get somebody on their turf, Bart, in, you know, the second round of the playoffs, and if weather is accommodating, all of a sudden you're in an NFC championship game. So it is a credit to them. They've put themselves in this position, and we'll see where it goes from here.
The question remains with the Green Bay Packers. Are they a good team that can beat bad teams, or are they a good team that can beat another good team?
Well, they've beaten teams with decent records, right?
Well,
through the course of the year, Chuck. I mean,
Dallas, that's not turning out the – I mean, they still won Dallas, but that's not turning out the
– I guess it looked better a couple weeks ago before Dallas and Philly have absolutely hit rock bottom and started their slides here.
I think everyone forgets we beat the Chiefs, but there was no Mahomes.
There was no Mahomes. They're likely – you know, Mahomes moves the line 10, 11 points, according to Vegas. They're likely a, you know, 5-6 point underdog in that game if Mahomes plays instead of a 4-point favorite, which is what they were that night. You know, they won at home against Minnesota early in the year. Again, you know, they jumped to the 21-0 lead and almost blow it. No, it's a question they're going to have to answer, Chuck, and a lot of it's going to come down, I think, here in the postseason to where are these games played. Do they fall to that 5 seed and then have to go on the road? Because I wouldn't like them on the road, although if they go to Dallas, that's certainly a winnable game. But if they have to go against anybody in the NFC West out in their building, that they're going to be a substantial underdog there. They would be a substantial underdog in the Superdome. But if they can get that game in Lambeau Field or two games in Lambeau Field, Chuck, a lot can bounce right for you.
But I think, Rob, ultimately they're going to have to go on the road and play a playoff game. I think the San Francisco loss assured that.
Again, unless there's an upset, right? If you find a way to get to the two spot and you win your first playoff game and 4-1, just like what happened, Chuck, in 2007 when they lost the home playoff game to the Giants. They were a 2 seed that year. You remember Dallas was the 1 seed that year and lost that home game to the Giants, who were the 4 or the 5 even that particular year. And then the Giants had to come, and obviously that was Favre's last game, and they won in Green Bay. I mean, a lot's going to play out. There's a lot of ball still in the air, Chuck, here over the last month of the year. You look at San Francisco's schedule, right? They still have Seattle. I think do they have New Orleans yet, guys? Does that sound right?
Who's this?
The 49ers.
This weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they have Seattle to end the year, I want to say. So that so that's certainly a beast. It's not easy, obviously, for Seattle. Minnesota's road isn't super easy. I wrote earlier this week, guys, on Forbes.com. I just broke down the win percentage of the teams left on Green Bay's schedule versus the rest of the playoff teams, and everybody else is in that 550 to 650 range in terms of win percentage. Everybody else is really tricky scheduling. Green Bay sitting down there at about 450. So Green Bay's path is certainly a lot easier with the two dregs of society in the NFC North, the Redskins, and obviously a tough game in Minnesota where you're going to be an underdog. But you go 3-1 there, guys, and don't rule out a 2 seed as a possibility.
It's Chuck and Winkler, Rob Reichel on site here, Blaine's Farm and Fleet. It is our 13th annual toy drive to benefit Children's Hospital and Robin's Nest. Much more for Rob coming up, including we're going to start to look at maybe some of the decisions that Matt LaFleur might have to make in the future and what he might think of the defensive side of the ball, because I'm starting to think there could be a change there maybe after the season is done. We'll get into that momentarily. Rob Reichel on site, Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
BlueChew.com. You want a change in your sex life, BlueChew.com certainly can help.
Rob and I don't need to listen to this part of the show.
Well, you guys can go away, turn your mics off,
yeah,
and let me just hang with the players out there.
Yeah,
we want to be players.
Yeah, we're studs.
Active ingredient says Viagra and Cialis. BlueChew.com contains these in the chewables. Same active ingredients. BlueChew.com. Affiliated physicians that work with you to help you find the right dosage and active ingredients that's best for you. The chewables can work faster. These chewables can be taken on a full or empty stomach. Here's what happens. You go to BlueChew.com. You get online with an affiliated physician. Sure, they're going to ask you a couple of questions. It's better than going to the doctor's office and waiting in line for the pharmacy. That's for one. But there's many reasons to like Blue Chew, including it's going to help your sex life. But Blue Chew, you get online with an affiliated physician. They're going to ask you a few quick questions. You'll give them some honest answers. Everything checks out. You are on your way. And here's that great idea for you guys, the great deal. BlueChew.com, your first order is free when you use the promo code Chuck. Yeah, just punch in the code
BlueChew.com,
Chuck.
BlueChew.com.
Promo code Chuck. No, you don't need it.
Is my mic on?
Somehow it is.
Oh, no.
We're talking loud. Pay $5 in shipping, and that's it. BlueChew.com. Guys, this is so great for you. It's going to help you. It's going to give you confidence a bit every time. You and your partner will love it. Again, go to BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code Chuck. Yeah, pay the $5 in shipping. You cheapskate, $5 in shipping. That is nothing to turn around your sex life and put a smile and turn that frown upside down on that lady. Blue Chew. Chew it and do it with Blue Chew.
Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. We are at the Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek for our 13th annual toy drive to benefit the Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest. We are just collecting as much toys as we can and as much cash as we can from you guys. Again, our favorite week of the year, not just because we get to see a bunch of you, but because we get to see the generosity of this area. I want to thank Americash Loans, Sprinkler Fiddles Local 183, Prime Cigar in Brookfield, and Tabak Law LLC. Rob Reichel joining us on site, Conley Media, Forbes.com. Coming into, I think it was the game before the Giants game, Mike Pettine's defense was 28th in total defense, 26th in run defense, 23rd in pass defense. Last year they were 18th in total defense, 22nd in run, 12th in pass. When Matt LaFleur got hired, we all wanted Pettine to stay. I think we've seen some things from this defense that we really like, especially with compared to Dom Capers' defense. But we also see a lot of the problems. Bend don't break is fine if you can get the turnovers, which against bad teams you can, against good teams you can't. Anytime there's ever a third down in the last decade, if it's 3rd and 13, the other team will have a third string receiver you've never heard of get 15 yards, or a tight end get 16 yards. It's common. I just wonder if after the season, and I don't know what kind of defense Matt LaFleur wants. You see his best buddy in the world, Robert Saleh, with the Niners, a much more aggressive defense, better playmakers on the line, sure. I just don't know if, well, I'm assuming they like each other and LaFleur can benefit from the experience Pettine had as a coach. I don't know. Maybe this is the defense he wants. Maybe it's not. I just wonder if there's anything more to what LaFleur wants to do on that side of the ball. Or, Rob, if he just says, Mike, you're fine. Just do what you do.
Yeah, I don't think any of us know that answer right now, Bart. We're going to find it out at the end of the season. And that's something, again, I wrote last week at Forbes.com, and I went back and I examined all of Capers' defensive numbers in about 7 or 8 major statistical categories, Bart, versus what Pettine has done in his first 2 years. And believe it or not, Capers beat him in every single category. Every single one, Capers' defenses were better. And you guys remember, whoa, by the end of 2017, this fan base was ready to, you know, everybody chip in $5 to get Dom Capers out of town. There were websites and Twitter pages or Facebook pages all over the place to fire Dom Capers, and it's been actually worse. It's gone substantially worse. And I would think, guys, from a management standpoint, when you look that they gave Za'Darius Smith $66 million, that they gave Preston $52 million, I think Amos was $37 million over four. It's a heavy investment. Kenny Clark's a high-level player. Blake Martinez is what he is, but he's a tackling machine. Granted, they're 5 yards downfield, but he makes a lot of plays. You've got a high-level corner on one side, right? You've got an emerging young safety. I know he hasn't been quite the same player since the ankle injury. So I just named, and that's obviously Savage. So you've got seven guys right there that to me are quality starters and way more than that in the league, guys. Now on top of it, you've been blessed with remarkable health. I mean, this team across the board has been as healthy as any year that I ever – and I started covering them in 01. I've followed them since the 70s. I mean, you guys can't remember a year they've been this healthy, can you? I mean, they've really missed nothing. They've missed Lane Taylor, who was going to get beat out eventually.
Well,
by
we
Jenkins
haven't seen
anyways.
One hamstring flare up in the middle of nowhere.
Isn't that crazy?
Bulaga's always hurt. But that's
but he's playing.
But he's but playing he started but he started every game, Chuck. I mean, they've had let me just get back to the defense. We'll finish that real quick. None of us know deep down what LaFleur is thinking at this point, and maybe the final four games in the playoffs eventually seal Mike Pettine's fate for 2020 one way or the other if he's back or not. And my guess is that's what it will. But Bart, you hit it right on the head. That's the key point. You can get takeaways against the Daniel Joneses and, you know, the third-string quarterbacks like they'll see with Detroit in a couple weeks and the Mitchell Trubisky's of the world. It's a lot harder when it's Drew Brees, right, or some Russell Wilson, guys you're going to see in the playoffs to take the ball away from them. And when you live on that bend-but-don't-break philosophy, like they did in 2011, you guys remember the 15-1 season, they took the ball away right and left, but they finished dead last in total defense. Well, eventually that catches up to you, as the Giants proved in that 37-20 win in Green Bay in the second round of the playoffs. So it's a really risky strategy and philosophy to play with. They're extremely good in the red zone. They stop teams from getting in the end zone, but Drew Brees finds a way to get his team in the end zone, right? Russell Wilson gets his team in the end zone, and now you're battling uphill if you can't take the ball away.
Here's what I think a first-year head coach usually does in any sport. He comes in first year. Yeah, he brings in his own guys he's comfortable with. Maybe takes in some guys from the former staff. But after a year, I think he's going to make some changes. They all do. LaFleur will make some changes to this coaching. If they could win a Super Bowl, and he's going to still make changes. That's what first-year coaches do. They're going to get a little lay of the land, and then after 1 year, they're going to say, okay, this is what I need to do to take this to a different level.
There was a comfort level without question with Mike Pettine. And again, maybe Matt LaFleur sees this much differently than the rest of us do in the general public, and maybe he's happy with what he's gotten out of Mike Pettine. But there was a comfort level, obviously, with him and some of his defensive coaches. You guys remember Mike McCarthy did that. He had Bob Sanders for a couple of years and eventually went out and he got Dom Capers. You're exactly right, Chuck. People do this all the time. They bring in their own guys eventually. There was a comfort level with Pettine. There were some people that believe Pettine should have got greater consideration for the head coaching job because they liked what he did defensively last year. I'm not sure why exactly, but again, it's going to be Matt LaFleur's call, and none of us at this point in time know exactly what he's thinking, and the next 4 to 6 games are probably going to determine where Mike Pettine coaches in 2020.
Rob Reichel joining us. Chuck and Winkler live at the Toy Drive, Blaine's Farm and Fleet, 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek. Want to thank Sight and Sound Solutions. Want to thank Rapina Realtor Group at Coldwell Banker Home Sale Realty. Want to thank Walmart, the Running Rebels, the Milwaukee Building and Construction Trades Council, just some of the many fine people and sponsors, Annex Wealth Management, Bayview Shade and Blind, for helping us get everything we need to do to get set up so that we can bring in all these donations as we have been. Rob brought some toys, so Rob, we appreciate that as always. With this whole thing, again, as we started talking to you, Matt LaFleur right now has himself a 9-3 team. And I think with some of the conversations we had with you and Packer fans had with each other and January about silos and power structure and weekly meetings. I mean, we're not talking a lot about Mark Murphy right now, and I think the less we talk about him, the more it shows that what he did, it looks like it worked.
I think you're exactly right there. Whether he just happened to catch lightning in a bottle with this hire, I mean, because let's take it back to January. The hiring process did surprise me a little bit. He met with Matt LaFleur for a few hours.
It was weird.
It was odd.
And then he said, this is the best talker ever. And then he got to the podium and he said, well, he said 3 words because Mark Murphy talked the whole time.
You know, but he rubber stamped him after one interview on a plane ride home where he allegedly hashed it out with his wingmen. It seems, at least at this point, and again, it's year one. We'll see what we're all talking about next year and in 2021. But it seems like this was the right guy, and it's going in the right direction, especially from where they were. The side effect of this, which is going to be interesting, is how much Green Bay's resurgence is going to hurt Mike McCarthy, to me, on the open job market here in a month or so, right? Well, how does Cleveland look at him now? How do the Jets look at him? How does Carolina look at him? How do all these people, right, who need a head coach, look at Green Bay that has jumped from back-to-back, you know, in essence, 6-7 win seasons? They were 13-18-1 over the last 2 years. How do they look at the Packers today at 9-3 with, you know, as a Matt LaFleur coach team versus what Mike McCarthy did with them the last couple of years? Now, I know in 17 you didn't have Rodgers for half a season, but you had them all last year. I think that's going to be a red flag on Mike McCarthy, that and a couple of other things. So things are obviously rosy in Green Bay and going, I think, better than a lot of people expected. I'm going to be fascinated, too, to watch, you know, how things play out for Mike McCarthy over the next 6 weeks or so. Is he the next Brian Billick, or does he find his next job and find another place to go and win some football games?
If Matt LaFleur doesn't get this job, who do you think would have been the coach of the Packers?
Honestly, I can't answer that, Chuck. I really don't know.
Is there anybody else they liked?
I really don't know who candidate two was. If you listen to Mark Murphy at his press conference when he introduced Matt LaFleur, you know, it wasn't close. And in fact,
of course, he's going to say that.
A couple of veiled shots that he took at some other people, I think, still sting to this point in time. That, you know, if you go back and read the transcript from that particular press conference by Murphy, he wasn't overly flattering to the rest of the candidates, and he obviously was in love with LaFleur to bring him in that quick. I don't have a good answer for you there, Chuck. Who it would have been? All I know is Green Bay is extremely happy with the guy they got.
Squeezing a little Badgers here. You're a big Badger guy too, Rob, and they've got the Big Ten Championship.
Just so we don't go to basketball, Bart.
No, basketball. I hate college basketball.
We're to the point as a fan base now with basketball that all we can say is, hey, we beat Marquette.
Yeah, we did. And
Eastern Illinois.
earlier this morning, Horvat, you had said that 14 teams could beat Wisconsin right now by two touchdowns.
I rounded that list off. I was wrong. 11 teams could beat Wisconsin. I don't know about two touchdowns, but LSU would beat Wisconsin easily by two touchdowns. Georgia would win by three scores. Alabama with Tua or without Tua. Oklahoma, Notre Dame, that's the one that I'm getting the most flack about because I'm a little bit of an Irish fan. Also a Badgers fan. Also, guys, I was a Dave Matthews Band fan, but I never compared them to the Beatles. Like, you could like both and admit that one's not in the next level. Ohio State, they already beat Wisconsin by two scores. Clemson would, Auburn would, Utah would, Florida would, Oregon would. Somebody came at me about Florida. Florida has two losses this season. One of them, LSU, they got beat 42-28. If you look at LSU's schedule, that's actually one of the closer games they played all year. And then Georgia beat Florida 24-17. So, yes, Florida is on that list. I'm sorry.
Rob, you agree? 11 teams?
No, I think the SEC is pretty overrated. I don't think Alabama's beat a team with a winning record, right, guys? Or only one or two. I mean, Alabama, Ryan, what's Alabama's signature win? And I'm not arguing that Alabama's not.
I think the SEC's very top-heavy this year, though.
No, I think without question. I mean,
teams
I don't
like Arkansas at Ole Miss.
I don't think
is going to be the first year they haven't been in the college football playoffs since the college.
I don't think there's anything
playoffs
special with Florida and Auburn. Now, Ryan, I don't disagree with you that Wisconsin's has some limitations and they're probably going to get drilled Saturday night by Ohio State. But I think Ohio State, Clemson, and LSU are on a whole nother level. And then after that, you can put about 8 or 10 teams in a hat. And I don't think there's much difference between a bunch of those and. There might be four or five, Ryan, still ahead of Wisconsin, and maybe even including Penn State. But
it's
you
just,
know, you know how Wisconsin obviously has to play. If Wisconsin's down 10-0, the game's pretty much over when they have to put the ball in Jack Cohn's hands. If they can get ahead and run the ball and try to force turnovers, it's a totally different story because that defense can be pretty good. That's why that Ohio State game, if they could have the first time through. I mean, you guys remember it was 0-0 almost till halftime, and if they could have gotten an early score in that game, it may have been a lot different. I still think Ohio State's probably three touchdowns plus better than Wisconsin. They might be two or three touchdowns better than anybody in the country. I mean, that's a pretty ridiculously good football team. But it's the same Badgers that we've seen for 25 years, and I think the fan base is a little bit frustrated with that too, because I think a lot of the fan base wanted to see Graham Mertz this season with an NFL running back and a few offensive linemen that that are going to play at the next level and really a pretty high level defense for the most part, rather than and take your chances with this quarterback who has an NFL future versus a guy at quarterback who really is just a guy.
Here's how Wisconsin's going to finish their season. They're going to get blasted by Ohio State, go to a bowl game, win their bowl game like they always do, some bowl game nobody cares about, and Badger fan will be happy with 10-3.
And that's frustrating because
– jobs will be kept.
Right. Well, jobs should be kept. You're not going to run a coach after –
No, I know, but I'm saying we just can't take it –
After an 11-3.
Are they
10-2? Right. And Chuck, that's why, to me, your future is with Graham Mertz. You haven't had a quarterback like this since Russell Wilson. Your only chance to join those Clemsons and Alabamas and Ohio States and LSUs of the world is if this guy turns out to be a first-round NFL draft pick. At some point in time, Wisconsin – I mean, 87 there, Cephas is going to play on Sundays for a long time. He's a unique talent. And Taylor is obviously going to have an 8-to-10-year NFL career, and two or three of those linemen will play at the next level. It was the perfect year to transition to the young quarterback and then put the offense in his hands next year rather than just trot out the next Jim Sorgi of the world, and that's what they did this year. They were going to be 10-2 either way, no matter probably who was the quarterback of this team, and now you're set up for the future. Look what some of these other programs have done, right? Look what Clemson did last year when they had a proven quarterback and they turned it over to the freshman who – was obviously going to be the first pick or a top five pick in a year or two here in the NFL draft. I'd like to see Wisconsin take a risk like that at some point in time, Chuck, rather than be so conservative and kind of go down that same road, like you said, that takes them to 10-3, 9-4.
I'd like to see
every single year. I think we could almost write the story on Wisconsin year in and year out in September of where things are headed. Unless at some point in time they take a chance and play a young kid like that who has unbelievable upside.
Predictable, like my second ex-wife. and what I'd like to see them do real quick? Go out and get themselves a fifth-year senior like they did Russell Wilson.
It's not that easy to do, but it's a nice idea. You got to remember, the guy they have sitting on the bench right now is the backup quarterback who's going to redshirt, it looks like, this year, was the MVP of the high school All-American game. If you guys watched him in January or February.
I did. It was the first time I ever watched that game.
Me too. I think he threw about 11 touchdowns or something, maybe 5 or 6. But
I think it was five. They were all good.
It was unbelievable what he did that particular day. So, when you've got Jack Cohn throwing checkdowns and things like that. I know Cohn was pretty good last week at Minnesota. That has not been the norm. That was an aberration. As a Badger fan who appreciates where they are right now but wants to see him take that next step. To me, Bart, that's how you take the next step.
It's Chuck and Winkler, Rob Reichel here on site, and we thank you for that and your donation, my man. Always a pleasure. Rob Reichel on
Robbie.
Twitter, at Rob Reichel. It's a cold morning here. We are doing just fine if you are worried about us. We're in the Bear Sunrooms. Bear, B-E-A-R, sunrooms.com is where you can check out just exactly what we are in. There's electricity in here. We threw in some heaters to plug those in. It is a really nice spot to do a broadcast all week from, especially when the alternative would be under a tent in a parking lot. So this is great. And because it is a little colder today, it's a little windy. And so these are the mornings where you need to fire up the heat in your car before you even get in it. That's where Sound Decisions comes in handy. Remote car starters, they've got them for you at Sound Decisions. With Christmas just 3 weeks away, a remote car starter from Sound Decisions, it's the perfect gift for someone who will appreciate that warm car first thing in the morning, or when they're buzzing around on the weekends, or when you get home from work and it's already dark and chilly. Sound Decisions, they're pros when it comes to sound systems. They've been doing that since 1972, and remote car starters as well. They've got the most reliable brands. They've got competitive pricing. They've got a quick installation. It did not take me more than an hour to get mine hooked up, and they show you how to press a button and your car starts and you're all set. Sound Decisions, call them today, 262-633-8300, 262-633-8300. Get yourself set up for your remote car starter you've been thinking about for yourself, or a great one for a Christmas present. One of your loved ones, a significant other, dad, son, mom, daughter, or otherwise. For details, check out their Facebook page or the website, brightpinkmailbox.com, brightpinkmailbox.com. Chris will hook you up on what that means, brightpinkmailbox.com. For a peace of mind and warm and toasty car this winter, check out Sound Decisions. More from you guys, 414-799-1250. Chuck and Winkler at the Toy Drive, live on The Fan.
You're listening to Chuck and Winkler, broadcasting live from the 13th Annual WSSP Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest Community Services, presented by Annex Wealth Management and Bayview Shade and Blind at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. On the Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. We are here live at the Toy Drive, Blaine's Farm and Fleet, 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek. Chuck will be back at the Waukesha location tomorrow, Thursday night from 4 to 6, so you can come drop off your toys there. We're going to be tuned in, though, to the big show when we're out there, because David Stearns will be in Oak Creek on site at 5 o'clock tomorrow night with the big show. Should be a good one tomorrow night. Want to thank a bunch of people and sponsors and businesses that have been on board helping out with their donations. Want to thank Sight and Sound Solutions. Want to thank Direct Drive Logistics and Direct Drive Express, Krepke Trucking, Lincoln Contractor Supply, CarStar of Milwaukee, our friend Brenda helping us last night, Eagle Disposal as well. And it's warming up maybe 2 degrees since we got out here, but the guys from Prospect Baseball Training Academy are doing a good job manning our booth. So again, bring your toys, bring your donations. If you just got a credit card, we have dip jars where you 10, 25, or 50 can make a donation that way, and you'll get a receipt mailed right to you. I've done that. It's very easy to use, so check that out again here, Blaine's Farm and Fleet, 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek. We're broadcasting live all week, 799-1250. John in Franklin is on the phone. John, what's going on?
Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Yeah, you know, for your guy you had on.
Just a second now?
What's that? Yeah.
Rob Reichel? Yeah. Yeah.
I am on board at the end of the season, barring some sort of radical change in what the things that this defense cannot do. I mean, we keep talking about how they close things up in the red zone. Well, that's just a numbers game. This scheme and these personnel and this coordinator cannot cover the football field. Yeah, when you get compressed down to 15 or 20-yard area, your numbers are going to get better as opposed to trying to cover the whole field, which he's demonstrated. And this defense has a reputation of the middle being soft in this defense when he came in here. Everybody was all excited that he was coming back. I wasn't. I watched the defense give up last year in a couple of games. I watched them get shoved down the field like me and a couple of my friends from the bar. I'm not impressed. And the problem is so frustrating, and it's not all on him, because this has been going on for years and years, so the frustration with people like me has been building, and it's not just all on him. I recognize that, but the problem is the draft capital that has been expended to try to fix this defense has been futile, and guys like Metcalf, Cook, Ridley, guys like young talent has been passed over because we could continuously try to draft players on the defense, stick them in the wrong spots, or they just don't work out. And there's just a lot of frustration there. My goodness. I mean, what would this offense be if we had one of these young, exciting tight ends? Just one or two players could make such a big difference, but we don't have them because we keep trying to fix this defense. After the first game of the year, I was really excited. I thought everything was going to change. But, just giving up these big gash plays, the inability to cover the tight end they could tell you, hey, we're throwing to the tight end. We still couldn't cover it. It's just frustrating, guys.
John, I think the defensive backs area is promising. You know, they drafted Alexander. I think he still's got some things to learn, but I think he is good. Kevin King, well, there's some good and there's some bad there. And I think we've seen Savage on what he can do, but we haven't seen the best of him just yet. So I think there's certain areas of the secondary that are moving in the right direction better than what we could have seen ever in Green Bay.
I agree with you, Chuck. But we got Kevin King, and we had to pass on Dalvin Cook, which was pretty much a sure bet to get him. And I was on board with it. But the problem is, to get these quarterbacks, we drafted six to get where we're at. And what if we could have got that done with three or four picks? We'd have a couple other players on this team that would be making a difference. And maybe when we play a team like San Francisco, we could put up a much better performance.
Are you including Ahmad Carroll back in 2000 in that equation?
Oh, God.
Because it started there, I feel. Actually, it started back with T-Buck, didn't it?
Oh, my gosh. We don't even have to go there. The futility of the last 5 years is enough, Chuck.
Yeah.
John, appreciate it. 414-799-1250. So, yeah, bend but don't break. What does that mean?
I hate that.
I know. We're saying that phrase too much.
No. But, I mean, the players use it too, Bart. Oh, you know, we got bend but break, no defense. But so you play bad defense, you give up cushion, and then once you get to the 15-yard line, then you start D-ing it up a little bit.
Well, let me tell you the stats once teams get into the red zone against the Green Bay Packers. They are first in the league when it comes to interceptions in the red zone with 4. When teams get into the red zone, they score 11.5% of the time against the Packers. That is the best in the league. That's the lowest in the league, so it's the best in the league for the Packers defense. They complete the ball when teams get into the red zone against the Packers just 46% of the time. That's second best defensively for the Green Bay Packers. The QB rating of guys when they get into the red zone against the Packers, just 65.9. That's second best in the league. And the scoring efficiency is 75, so they're allowing touchdowns not to go in. They're still kicking the field goal, but still, just 75% of the time they score. That's third best in the league. Bend but don't break may be a terrible phrase to say over and over as we do a four-hour radio show all the time, and it may be terrible to watch guys like Darius A.C. Slater, I forgot the guy's name, Slayton from the Giants, you know, and these guys of the world that Noah Fant and all these dudes getting these big third downs on you. But in the red zone, they do tighten up, and I don't like it either, but the facts are there for those that are, you know, that hate the phrase so much.
Here's what I say about those red zone stats you just gave me. You also got to look at the other end, which nobody ever looks at, the other end. Who are the offenses that were failing? Now, was there success against teams that have problems in the red zone? Because there's also teams in the league that can't get out of their own way once they get in the red zone. They can move the ball between the 20s, but they get inside the 10, the 15, or the 20, and, you know, suddenly they've never seen a football before, and they have problems. So, you know, I think those numbers got to be broken down a little bit further on who's actually stumbling and fumbling against the Packers in the red zone.
We just talked to John and Franklin. Now I'm texting with John and Franklin. He just said he's going to come down here tomorrow.
Oh, we haven't seen him.
Yeah, he'll be down here tomorrow on the 6 o'clock hour. So it's always good to catch up with John in person, a former Bart Collar standings champion and one of the guys that we do love to hear from, especially win or lose, but kind of more after a loss to hear him heat it up. It's Chuck and Winkler. More from you guys, 799-1250, 414-799-1250. A reminder, at Perkins, they've got their holiday pies on display for you to take home. You see it when you go to Perkins. There's that bakery right there. You got the key lime pie. You got the pumpkin pie. You got the apple pie. You got the French silk pie. You got all these different pies. So take the pie home. We've got a party coming up. We don't know what to bring. I'm going to take a pie from Perkins. Now, I am going to take it out of the Perkins box, and I'm going to tell my relatives I made the pie. If they don't want to believe me, that's fine. Afterwards, if they do want to know the recipe, I'll say, oh, you know, a very similar pie they make at Perkins if you want to check it out. So it's a good way this holiday season to score yourself some really good brownie points from the family and friends when you go to their party. Check out Perkins. They've got the holiday pies for you. They've also got great deals. You're going to be out running around this holiday season doing some shopping, need a little pit stop and relax a little bit. Perkins, a good place to do that, especially now with the steak menu that is in full swing. A lot of good items, whether it's in the morning, the steak and eggs. They brought us some omelets today that I absolutely destroyed in a good way. Very good with the eggs, the sausage, and loaded steak quesadilla, a lot of that stuff. So check out that steak menu. Starts at just $7.99. More from the toy drive, and we'll talk about a winning streak. 13 games, although it comes to an end last night. That just after 9 o'clock. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
On The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. Chuck Freeman here on site. Blaine's Farm and Fleet, 6th and Rawson in Oak Creek. We will talk with John Greenberg. We always love to hook up with him this time of the year. The Admirals, I mean, when it comes to charities, when it comes to children's especially, they do great stuff. There's actually an event they've got coming up at one of their games to tie in with children's. We'll talk about that with John. We'll talk about the 13-game win streak with Greeny. So that came to an end last night, however.
And Their concert this year, the rock concert they're bringing in, REO Speedwagon.
Ah, yes.
You better believe we're going to talk about that player.
Do you want to? Well, we'll have him here for a half hour. Do you want to do 20 minutes on REO?
Well, we'll see how it goes. You know, we'll get a little feel. You never know what direction it's going to take.
No, that's true. You don't. But John Greenberg will be here, president of your Milwaukee Admirals, and we'll have some tickets to give away for an upcoming game here as well, which we can talk about, and you can score a donation momentarily. Again, I'm Bart Winkler. That Chuck Freeman. Do also want to give a shout-out to Rick. Rick was the guy who was with us throughout the show yesterday who made us the fish fry. And that party that he had, we kept saying that he raised $1,800. It was only 28 people that he had at the party. So they all chipped in like $50 a head. And there were people that invited, were invited, that they couldn't make the party. They still gave Rick a check. So that's the kind of stuff that I like at the Toy Drive, where it's like the elementary schools that – do this on their own. We start getting some notes from you guys. Hey, what are the days on the Toy Drive again? I look, it's August 4th, and you're already wanting to do Toy Drives at your location. Great Midwest Bank, a big part of that. So I think that part's really one of the neater parts of this.
How about the Franklin Fire Department on Monday starting off our Toy Drive, giving us a $2,700 check?
Yeah, big little, check.
Little spaghetti dinner they had over there, raised $2,700. They gave the big check right over to your boy Frames over here. And went over to the bank and put it in.
Yeah, so thank you to everyone. And then, again, there's people that just come walk out of the Blaine's Farm and Fleet here and give $5 or even a buck. And that's, I mean, it's all going to the same spot. Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest, we are the preeminent spot for them to get toys throughout the year, whether it's birthdays or get-togethers. We're going to be at their winter carnival next Wednesday giving out some toys, so it's all a great time. We'll talk some John Greenberg coming up, some Admirals. Do want to just refresh everybody on what the college football playoff rankings were. They came out last night. Top four stays the same. Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and Georgia. And it looks like Ohio State will get in regardless. LSU's probably going to get in regardless. Clemson will probably get in if they win. If they lose, could get interesting. Georgia will be out with a loss, and Utah could be in with a win, maybe Oklahoma if they win, or Baylor wins and Utah loses. So you could see Utah in the top four, which I think would be nice. I know they might get smoked by Ohio State, mm-hmm. which is weird when I watch Utah because they wear very similar jerseys, by the way. They look like the Ohio State throwbacks, okay. And it always throws me off. But it'd be nice if there was more, like, because you – Alabama not being in, this is going to be the first time they're not in. They're 12th in the rankings right now. I don't mind, like, teams that are good, you know, dynasties, but it can't be the same four teams every year. And if a team like Utah can get in, have a good year in a conference that nobody gives any respect to, I think that does give maybe a little more hope for some other teams.
I think Utah gets into the if they got into one of those final four teams, if they had to play anybody like LSU or Ohio State, Utah would get smashed like Wisconsin is on Saturday night against Ohio State. I mean, I've seen Utah play. They're fine. They're not great. The Pac-12 isn't very good.
But they
good.
Deserve a shot, don't they?
No.
And that's the question.
In an 18 field, Bart, yes. But not in a 14 field.
Because really, Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and Georgia, those are the four best teams in the nation.
Sure, but Utah's not in that league.
So why don't we just have those four teams play in the tournament then? Because what they're going to do is Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and Georgia are the four best teams in the nation. So let's just have them play in the tournament. Why even have these other games? Because if Georgia wins...
That's why there's 50 other bowl games.
LSU's still going to play. Yeah. So it's just the whole thing's a mess. John Greenberg, let's have you pop on here real quick. He's going to be joining us for the next half hour, president of the Milwaukee Admirals. Just so we have the donation right on what people can pick up. This is a four-pack of tickets.
Those are four center ice tickets for Friday night. We are back home for the first time in a long time. And playing Iowa, 7 o'clock at the Panther Arena. Iowa's in second place. So we don't particularly like each other either, so that might be kind of fun.
What do we want for a donation for these?
Well, those are worth $120, so I'll let you guys figure out what you want for them.
Okay.
Chuck, you want to figure out the price?
Four tickets, $120.
$120.
Well, we can say $120. We can. I don't care.
Come on down with a $120 donation.
That'll work.
You're making the donation, and you'll get a four-pack of tickets center ice for Friday night's game. where it looked like they were going to go for 15 in a row. They get tripped up last night. We'll talk about the amazing streak that they've been on and what it means for the future. John Greenberg, more with the president of the Milwaukee Admirals next here on The Fan.
Bring it, toys!
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.